This recording, North Carolina 13, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Karma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah was a nurse who had been working in a deserted district of the territory for a long time, so she was very happy to start a new job in North Square near Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She checked herself in the mirror and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain white dress and a furry yellow fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah a letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising, because normally you would only expect to see it in a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the bird. Soon that bird began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Karma, Karma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Karma was strong and huge, so it took some force to trap her. But Sarah managed by gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm and singing to her. Her efforts were not futile. Very soon the goose began to tire, and Sarah gave her a relaxing bath. Then she laid Karma on a cloth for diagnosis. Almost immediately, Sarah remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. I can't remember the name of the medicine. It came in a fancy jar and was very expensive. But Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. I'm from a small rural community, and everybody who lived in my neighborhood, if you want to call it that, were relatives. We called it the circle, and our house was there, my grandmother's house was there, an aunt and uncle who were childless lived there, and a couple of aunts and uncles who had children. There were five female cousins, and in the summertime, we hung out together all day long from early until late. In my grandmother's yard was a maple tree. And the five of us developed that into our apartment building. Each of us had a limb. And the less daring cousins took the lower limbs. And I and another cousin, a year younger than I, always went as far to the top as we could. And we were kind of derisive of those girls who stayed with the lower limbs. We had front doors and back doors. The front door was were the limbs on the front that were nearest the boxwood hedge. And the grass was all worn away in that area. And then the back door was on the back side of the tree, and you could only enter the front and exit from the rear. And that had to be done by swinging off a limb that was fairly high off the ground. And my cousin Belinda and I had no problem with that, but the other girls, that was always something we had to coax them into doing. But still, you entered the front, you left the rear. We ate our lunches together. When it was lunchtime, and our mothers always cooked lunch in the summertime because they didn't want to be in the hot kitchen at night, so we would just take our, go home, and we'd load our plates with all the vegetables and the cornbread, and get our glasses of milk or iced tea or whatever we were having, and we would head for somebody's yard where we would all sit down and eat together. It was just an institution. Lunch in somebody's yard. And if you wanted to go home for a second helping, sometimes that was quite a little walk. But it was worth it because that was our thing, having lunch together every day. We gathered at my grandmother's on Sundays. All my aunts would get those chairs and form a circle, one crocheted. Most of them just sat and talked, and we girls hung out for the main part with the women. The men would gather around the fish pond, which was in a side yard. It was kind of a rock pond that my granddaddy had built. There was a iron pipe in the middle, and when he went fishing, he would put his catch in there, or if he caught a mud turtle, he'd put it in there, and there it stayed until it was time to kill it and cook it, whatever it was. The pipe in the middle had water that sprayed up all the time. There was a locust tree near there, and that's where we girls picked the leaves and the thorns to make the doll clothes out of the locusts. It's where we always ate the watermelon. We always had to save the rind, and we always had to leave some pink on that rind because my grandmother made watermelon pickles out of that rind. I hated the things. I thought they were the worst things I ever put in my mouth, but everybody else thought watermelon pickles were just a great delicacy. That was also around the time that everybody grew gladiolas, and I thought they were the ugliest flower I'd ever laid my eyes on. But everybody had gladiolas. Of course, now I've come to appreciate the gladiola, but back then, I had absolutely no appreciation for it. It was also where we made the ice cream on the front porch. We made ice cream on Sunday afternoons. I had an aunt who worked in the general mercantile business that my family owned, and she was only home on Sundays, so she baked all day, homemade rolls, cakes. And so she made cakes, we made ice cream, and everybody wanted to crank, of course. That was just a big treat to get to crank that ice cream. It was just our Sunday afternoon thing, and I think back on it, all the aunts would sit around and they'd talk and they'd smoke, even if you never saw those ladies smoke any other time of the week. On Sunday afternoon, when we all were gathered about in Granny's yard, they'd have a cigarette, just a way of relaxing, I suppose. The maple tree is now gone. In later years, it was thought the maple tree, our apartment building, was shading the house too much and causing mildew. So it was removed at some point, and I don't, to this day, enjoy looking up into that part of the yard. Trees.